Welcome to the Townships at 12. I'm your host, Maureen Dillon Teasdale, and I will be with you for the next hour here on The Cube 88.9 FM. In the first half hour today, I will be talking with Shauna Chatterton-Jerome. Shauna is the coordinator of the new Indigenous Student Support Center on the campus of Bishop's University. But first, we will hear the song called Good People, and it's by a Canadian band called Indian City.
I was lonely the moment that you told me that you'd always be there, be there.
You don't even know me, still every day you show me the way to make a difference, when I thought that no one in this world would care, my soul was bleeding. Showed up like you knew exactly what I needed.
I see you in your halo. Good people make good people. I see you in your halo. Good people make.
Kicked around some, but don't let them divide us, 'cause we got love inside us.
You don't know you're selfless until someone is helpless. I see your sacrifices priceless. Heroes come in different shapes and sizes, yeah, they're all around us. You just seem to know exactly what I'm feeling.
I see you in your halo. Good people make good people. I see you in your halo. Good people make good people.
Teasdale for The Cube, and today I'm very pleased to welcome Shauna Chatterton-Jerome to the Townships at 12. Now, Shauna is the coordinator of the new Student Indigenous Support Center on the campus of Bishop's University, and the center is called Kwigwamana. And thanks very much for doing the interview. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your role as coordinator of this center?
Yeah, so it's been almost four years that I've been working at Bishop's University and as the Indigenous Student Support Coordinator. And what I do in this role is pretty much anything that the students need me to do on campus. So that can be anything from helping them with their academics whether that's facilitating talking to their teachers or helping them look at classes to choose for the next semester. And then I can do a bunch of things like organize the cultural workshops for the students or weekly meals or work with our Indigenous student workers that we have. We currently have 3 workers working for the center. So, yeah, every day is kind of different and definitely always up on my toes doing something around campus, that's for sure.
Sounds like you do a lot. Now, the name Kwigwamana means our house and yours in Abenaki. Can you tell us about the significance of this name and what it represents for the center?
Yeah, so the name Kwigwamana for the building was named by the chief of Odinak, Richard Obomsawin. And so he got the name because he asked what the purpose of the building would be in that. And it's really a place where Indigenous students can have some space for them, reserved only for them, and that they can feel like safe in a home away from home in. But also a place where we could meet with like non-Indigenous people that could also be a place of learning about the different Indigenous groups on campus and, yeah, all over Canada, I guess. So we have students from that come from all over. So that's kind of where this name came, Kwigwamana, help be that place where we can all gather and learn together.
Okay, that's really interesting. Now, Kwigwamana is housed in Divinity House. That's a building that once was associated with training clergy. What does it mean to transform this space into an Indigenous student center?
Yeah, so this has been like a long time in the process and in thinking. I know that back in, I believe it was like 2016-17 when the building was like not being used since 2014, that in 2017 they asked like current Indigenous students that were there whether they wanted the space to be a potential like gathering center, knowing what the history was of it. And the students at the time said that they were fine with it. They were just happy to have like a space, a center, and to repurpose a place like the. And I think that's pretty much the same chain of thought that's now with our students currently, that being able to have such a big space dedicated to them or so much more than what the history used to be. We're ready to kind of create a new history with the building. And on the opening day that we had on March 21st, I remember Chief Obomsawin saying that it's the best type of building to be having our Indigenous like center in, showing that, yeah, we are kind of taking over this space, a space that used to be that some priest, there was like, it was a theology school. So some of the graduates became priests afterwards. So just being able to like, yeah, switch that narrative and like reshape the history of this building is, yeah, it's kind of thrilling and exciting, and I'm looking forward to the next chapter.
Mm-hmm. It must have been quite a process in repurposing the building for this new vision.
Yeah, it was. The project was announced in 2019, and we just finally opened it on March 21st, 2025. So it's been 7 years in the making. I've been on the project ever since we've announced it, so I'm very happy that it's finally done and ready to start being used by us. So, but it definitely did have some challenges, and whether that was like viewpoint challenges or more on the economy side, especially with COVID happening and boosting all the prices of materials and that. So, yeah, but we finally came through. Donors and governments came through as well and supported us and really wanted this project to come to life. So
okay.
I'm very thankful for everyone who helped out.
Mm-hmm. How has the response from the community been?
Very positive. I'm like the 21st when the community was invited to come out for the celebration. Yeah, I just got so many positive reviews on the building and what it is. And a lot of people were like, wow, like My room used to be here, and so it was really nice to see the different viewpoints and to see everyone kind of excited of what has become of this project and this building, Kwikwamina. And yeah, I didn't hear anything negative, so I'm very glad that a lot of people love the vision that we had a few years ago and that it finally came to life.
Okay. Now, Kwikwamina, it serves as a study center, a gathering space, and indigenous research lab. Can you tell us a bit more about these different aspects?
Yeah. So on the main floor, on one half of the building, there's like a gathering space and a big kitchen that's going to only be accessible to like indigenous students from Bishops and Champlain and staff as well. So that's something that we really like asked for, was to have that space, because we gather all the time, especially with food. Food's a big part of everyone's culture. So having that kitchen was an amazing addition to our space. And then we have a quiet study space as well in the basement, just accessible to the indigenous students. So that kind of offers that like safe space where they can go off and do their studies or have more of that quiet area to themselves. And then, yeah, we have the Canadian Research Chair in Digital Indigeneities, so a center for that research as well to kind of flourish. Yeah, it's been a little like hidden in a way, so I'm excited to see with the big research center and how that's gonna really develop on campus. Mm-hmm. And we have an apartment on the very last floor with a fully furnished apartment with like two rooms, and it's fully accessible as well. So that we're excited to use as a resource where it's going to bring in more indigenous speakers, artists, elders, people who are going to host workshops, all kinds of things like that. People like guests and residents that will stay a little longer. There's so many like things that are unknown, but like unlimited as well, like options where we can decide how this goes. So very excited for that as well.
It sounds like it's really well thought out. Now, will the center also offer some programming or events open to the wider Bishops University community?
Yeah, we do host quite a few things open to everyone. Some of the bigger things that we do is like a whole week for Truth and Reconciliation, so that we typically post like a schedule for the whole week. But those are things that I don't know how it's going to look like this year with Kwikwamina, but we're definitely going to use that space we have and invite people in and to continue some of the learning. And we also do vigils for missing and murdered Indigenous women, girls, and Two-Spirited people. So that as well, we always invite people over to campus near the gazebo, which is right beside Kwikwamina, which is nice, which we can finally maybe even host it right behind Kwikwamina. And we do other different workshops. In the past, we've done like basket weaving workshops that were open to everyone from Bishop Champlain and even University of Sherbrooke, so that I envision it happening in one of those rooms as well. So yeah, there's different things that we've been kind of booking different halls for, but that now we have the space to host on our own in that building.
Very exciting. How do you see Kwikwamina contributing to the broader conversation on reconciliation and Indigenous representation in academic spaces?
Yeah, well, there was one of the students who spoke on the opening on the 21st on Friday that said that typically, like as we've seen with the past, like Indigenous peoples and just with the reserve systems, we've been kind of pushed to the side and hidden. And a lot of people are like, oh, there's no more Indigenous people here. But with having such a big building, right at the front of campus, so it's like one of the first buildings on campus that you see. So having us right there at the front and not kind of pushed, like not in the back or not in the basement or anything like that, creating that visibility is going to be, yeah, it's kind of giving that statement of like, no, we're still here type of thing. So, yeah, I think it's going to create a lot of like visibility for us. People are going to wonder what this building is, and I'm sure that we're going to always have things going on. So, yeah, just having that visibility helps as well of like, no, we're here and we're diverse, and yeah, there's many ways that they can educate themselves.
Okay. Now, what role will the Indigenous knowledge, traditions, and perspectives play in the research lab and the programming?
Yeah. So the research lab, I can't speak too much on that. That's my colleague, Henner Leon Ortiz, who's I am from the Yucatan region, that could speak more to that. But yeah, and then the programming there, we will have some classes as well in the building. So anything that's kind of more Indigenous related or content will be housed there. So if we're doing like guest speakers or different things, we'll definitely host them there as much as we can to bring in people. And we have like an Abenaki language course on campus. So that as well, we plan to host it in one of the rooms, Widomba room. All of our rooms are named in Abenaki language, especially like the main rooms. So that as well is part of like the education we're trying to do throughout the building, is using the Abenaki language throughout the building so people can start getting like familiar with it, and yeah, to help revitalize that.
Definitely very fascinating. Do you have any idea what percentage of Bishop students are Indigenous?
Not percentage wise, but we have around 50 to 60 self-identifying students on campus. We're less than 3,000 students for the total population.
Okay. Now, how can students, faculty, and the community also get involved or support the center's mission?
Just support. If there is events happening for like the wider community, we usually share it on our Indigenous Student Support Center Facebook and Instagram page. So definitely coming to events that we host. We usually put the time in to get things that are quite educational and relevant to the academic field to be coming on campus. So definitely coming out to the event. There's also donation options on the Bishop's website that can go into our center. You can choose to put it through our center, which helps us create more programming and support for the Indigenous students. But sometimes too, those monies go to like creating things for the wider community as well, like workshops and that.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good. So you're on Facebook and you're on Instagram, and if somebody types in the Bishop's University, is there a link also to the support center?
They would most likely have. I don't think if they do Bishop's University on Facebook, they would find it, because they would just lead you to their general page. But if you write Indigenous Student Support Center, it should come up, and we have like it's a purple BU logo. So yeah, just look for the Indigenous Support Center with a BU, like the BU logo in the purple color and a green orange feather.
Okay, that sounds good. Anything else that we left out, Shauna, you'd like to add?
No, I'm like, once we're going to be slowly settling into the building, just because we opened it, we're not all right in there now. But yeah, once we're more settled in, for sure, by the summer, we'll be nice and settled in. I invite people to come and have a look at the building. Right when you enter the building, there's a map of the Kena, is the land of the Abenaki people. At the Wabanakiak, and yeah, it provides a lot of educational information there, like the canoe route. It has the place names of different either mountains or rivers or lakes in Abenaki English and French. So it is interesting to start learning those places in the language, especially if you frequent them often. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so there's different ways that people can, yeah, come out and support and learn. And the first step is, yeah, coming out to the building and seeing what all the hype is about.
Okay. And finally, what does it mean to you personally to be a part of this project?
I'm very thankful for this project. Like I said, I've been part of this project since 2019, so for 7 years now. I started when I was a student here at Bishop, and then I graduated in 2021 and started working for the center right after. So, yeah, it's been a long, long process, and it just finally feels amazing to see it being like finished, and also to have my office in there as well. I'm super excited and I really look forward to it.
Okay, that is wonderful. Okay, Shauna Chatterin-Jerome, coordinator of the new Indigenous Support Center on the campus of Bishop's University, Kwigwamana. Thanks very much, Shauna, and all the best on the project.
Thank you.
Bye. And next up, we have some community event announcements for you here on the Townships at 12. A play coming up presented by the Drama Club at Alexander Galt Regional High School. Get your tickets for It Happened on Route 66, written by Todd Wallinger, Thursday, April 10th, Friday, April 11th, and Saturday, April 12th. Tickets are on sale at the door at the Alexander Galt Auditorium. Willy Wonka Jr., a play by the Vision School Drama Club, that will be showing at Centennial Theater on April 12th, Saturday, 6 p.m., and also on Sunday, April 13th, there's a matinee at 1 p.m., and the other show at 6 p.m. You can go online to Centennial Theater and get your tickets. Volunteer with Tech Hub. Teach computer skills. Help others with their laptops, tablets, or phones. Fridays from 2 to 4 p.m., 50-minute one-on-one sessions. Tutor training on April 23rd. For information, call Serena at Literacy in Action. The email is Serena, that's a capital S-E-R-E-N-A, at lia-estree.org. Mental Health Estree, in partnership with GRE Estree, invites you to a free online demystification workshop. This welcoming session is open to all and will take place on Wednesday, April 9th from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. on Zoom. The workshop will be presented in English. GRE Estree's demystification workshops take the form of testimonials from specially trained volunteers who openly answer questions, including those that may feel intimidating about sexual and gender diversity. By sharing their lived experiences, the presenters help put real faces to identities that are sometimes misunderstood or feared, fostering meaningful dialogue and awareness. They encourage everybody to join them for the engaging and informative event and to share this invitation with other networks to help spread the word. For more information or to register, 819-565-2388. Mental Health Estree is having a free workshop in English open to everybody, lunch is included, Mental Health Conference, Thursday, May 8th, 9 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. In the morning, How Mental Health is Impacted by Addiction, with Mary Ann St. Jacques, PhD, University of Sherbrooke. Kiosk tables, activity stations, and lunch, again, which is free. The afternoon, Move, Breathe, Heal, Dance as a Tool for Well-Being, with Dr. Adriana Mendrick, Bishop's University. To register, 819-565-2388, or by email, projects@mentalhealthestree.com. Setting Healthy Boundaries as a Caregiver, presented by Mental Health Estree, Tuesday, April 24th, 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m., in person at 3355 College Street in Sherbrooke, door number 2, welcome to all, and it is free. For more information, email projects@mentalhealthestree.com. Coming up at the ANAF The Hut in Lennoxville, it's a dance with Sydney Aulis, April 20th and April 27th, 1:30 to 5:30 p.m. At the door, it's $10. Everyone 18 years and over is welcome. Join Townshippers and the University of Sherbrooke Leadership Students for Family Day coming up on Saturday, April 12th, 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. at the Sherbrooke Elementary School, located at 242 Ontario Street in Sherbrooke. A gift for every child who attends the event. Book your calendar for this free event for English-speaking families with children 2 to 12 years old. A morning of sports and arts activities and snacks. Speak to community organizations offering services to the ESC in Sherbrooke and surrounding areas. This event is free and there is no need to register. If you have questions, please contact Emily at ecote@townshippers.org. The Lennoxville United Church, they have a rummage sale coming up, and that happens on Thursday, May 8th, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., Friday, May 9th, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and on Saturday, May 10th, $7 bag sale from 8:30 a.m. to noon. Now, if you're cleaning out your closets right now, they are accepting donations from Monday to Friday mornings for this event from 9 a.m. until noon, and no furniture, please. Lennoxville and Community Aid is hosting a conference, an interesting conference by Dr. Michael Stiffer on Alzheimer's disease at Grace Village. April 9th, 1:30, you need to RSVP by emailing lroy@massscom.ca or call 819-569-0546, extension 5040. We have the next presentation for the St. Francis Valley Naturalist Club coming up, and this is by Mathieu Vinette. He is the president of the Association for the Boisy Ascot Lennox Nature in Our Hearts. That comes up on April 30th, Wednesday, 7 p.m. at the Amity Beaudoin Community Center, located at 10 Samuel Gratham Street in Lennoxville. Everyone is welcome to attend, and it is free admission. And if you belong to a nonprofit organization, you have an event coming up, we would love to get the word out for free. Just please give me an email describing the event, cjmqnews@gmail.com or cjmqnews@yahoo.ca. I'd like to thank my guest in the first half hour of today's show, Shauna Chatterton-Jerome, the coordinator of Quig Mamana, the new Indigenous Student Support Center on the campus of Bishop's University. We will close the first half hour of the show with a song called Main Character, and it's by Canadian band Wolf Saga. We will hear the news with Derek Bullard, and we will be right back with the second half of the Townships at 12. And in the second half of today's show, I will talk with Dennis Katsouris, the Executive Director of Townshippers Association. Dennis has been in the position now for 1 year, so please stay tuned. You're listening to The Cube 88.9 FM here in the Eastern Townships.
I wish I could do all the things that would make this world a better place, but there's days when I don't feel it too. I look out and see all of you through a window with an honest view, and know we all have things to lose. I put on my headphones and I cue up on my fave song. This is my time and I'm here. I walk outside and then some, reminiscing where I came from. I close my eyes and then it's clear. I'm the main character, through the highs and through the hurt. There is no script and this is all, this is it. My movie. I wish I could be all the things that would make our world seem the same, but your story is your own. Play the soundtrack to my life. Seems to slow down the time, and it makes me feel at home.